this is going to be about dividing events in the history of the church and history of Israel, dividing them one from the other so we can understand what is for us and what was not for us, but was strictly for Israel for another purpose. So in going through these this chronology kind of a thing with this chart, there is a chart. And let me just find where I've got the I got a link here set up. It's right here. There we go. And it's the top gray box, top gray window on that page. And you'll find the first, and actually you only need the first one. The third box shows the JPG. Let's see, that's the second box, the second one. Second file in that window, that gray window, just shows you what it looks like, more or less from a distance. Looking at history from the side, and you can see the red on the bottom. That would be, at the beginning, it would be God working with Israel. And then there came an Acts chapter 7 when Israel committed their unforgivable sin. And the Lord started working through Paul in Acts 9 through... That's not true. The Lord announced through Paul that he was working in a different way, by a different pattern. And the Bible calls it a pattern. And it's by grace through faith. We believe that Christ died for our sins, and he says we're saved on that basis. He rose again. He was resurrected for our justification. You see that in the middle of that JPG file on the let me just post that again if I can here. There we go. It's in the top gray box on that page. The middle is green, and it's above. It's heaven-bound. It's God's heavenly people. Then, after the catching up, you can see there's red on the bottom again, on the right side of that JPG, showing God working with Israel on earth, his earthly people, through the tribulation and the millennium, etc. So, we're partway through that. We're still in the first red part on the left side. And the topmost file in that gray window is the spreadsheet. It's got the information on it that I'm working from here as we go through and discover what God was doing. Let's start with Jesus' ascension. Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. And it looks like I left one verse out there. We'll try and hit that. After we go, this is just review, Nathaniel. We're not up to the verse list yet. But let me just pull up this other one. All right. About Jesus' ascension, and when he, this is Acts 1:9, when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Verse 11, and I lost my place. Which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And then this is the one verse that I did mean to include but didn't. So here it is. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, the right side of God. And that's in contrast to what Stephen saw later on in Acts 7, about a year later, saw Jesus standing. And there is some significance to it. It's not. It's an event, an Israel event, but it's not it's not of the same magnitude as the fact that Israel had been warned what their unforgivable sin would be, and they did it there in Acts 7. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost, which was unforgivable, and said it won't be forgiven in that era, that world, or in the world to come, which is what we're in now. So in the following, the world that follows this, after we're caught up to be with the Lord, then they will be forgiven during the tribulation. So starting with today's, then, we're caught up to where the another Israel event. You can see that it's in red on that spreadsheet, that top file in the gray box on the web page I posted. Let's read about it. This is the Holy Ghost replacing Judas with Matthias among the Israel's 12 apostles. Starting in Acts 1, verse 12, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey." I'd like to know how many feet that is, but we'll leave that for another time. Anybody listening? Yes. Anybody listening? There we go. Acts 1:13. "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey." Yeah, some of them are don't worry, double-edged. They're across the room, or some are shut-ins. They're listening. They wouldn't have tuned in if they didn't want to listen. Acts 1:13. "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, I guess it is, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued." Now, I didn't count them before. Let's count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So there are 11. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of..." This is a parenthesis here. This isn't what he said yet. This is a parenthesis. "The number of the names were about 120. End of parenthesis. So here's what Peter said. "Men..." And this is verse 16 in Acts 1. "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry." That's a good thing to remember there when considering about Judas. "He had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field and purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper language Akeldama. Which is to say, the field of blood. For it's written in Psalms, in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take." Welcome to the room. My pastor jokes about that. Says he's the only bishop whose name's in the Bible. Let his bishopric be... let his bishopric and his bishopric let another take. Anyway, that's for free. Acts 1:21. Wherefore, these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us, and we just read about that in Acts 1:9, 10, and 11. No, I lost the flow of it. Wherefore, of these men, this is verse 21, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And it goes on and tells what they did then, but do you know what that means? It means that the Lord's Supper, there were the Lord Jesus, that's one. There was the 12 apostles, that adds up to 13. There was also these two men that they're going to put forward to replace Matthias. They had to have been with the group from the baptism of John all the way through the resurrection. So that means there was at least 15 at that table. Rembrandt or whoever, Leonardo da Vinci, whoever painted that, missed that. let's go on with what happened then. They said that they had to, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, whose name was Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry, and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And I think that's significant too, because he's called the son of perdition, and there's only one the. You know, the is singular, the son of perdition. There's only one son of perdition in the Bible, but he's mentioned twice. Acts 1:26. And they gave forth their lots, and they call it lots here. Earlier in Israel's history, it's called the Urim and Thummim. Urim and Thummim. I don't know where they came up with that name, but its history isn't shown, it's just used. Anyway, they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And you see that at least two or three other places following this in Acts, that he is one of the 12 apostles now. The Lord replaced the missing apostle when one died before Israel fell. After Israel fell in Acts 7, you find in Acts 12 that James is killed with the sword, and he's never replaced, because it's after Israel fell from being God's precious treasure, from being the recipient of the kingdom, being offered the kingdom, the at-hand kingdom, and yet they rejected it, they rejected their king, and they blasphemed the Holy Ghost. So that's when they fell. Alright, next item, and it's also an Israel item, an Israel event. Israel's apostles, the kingdom of priests, and we read yesterday in the last lesson about what is done to priests that they may serve the Lord. And that's in Exodus. We'll get to that. But in this section, Acts 2 here, we're going to see an anointing baptism given to those apostles of Christ. But let's look at the history and the meaning of it. Look at Exodus chapter 29, verses 1. We'll hit 1 and 4 and 7. Yesterday we read all 7 verses, and you're welcome to do that. It just goes through a lot of the less the details that are, you take two rams, similar to what's in the end of that first verse. But we'll hit these four for times, these three verses for time's sake. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and then jump down to four. He continues with that type of thing, and then we get down to four. And Aaron and his sons, the ones that are to be priests, in other words, shalt thou bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And that's the baptism. That was what John the Baptist was doing, baptizing a kingdom of priests. Trouble is, they didn't receive their king or the kingdom. Go down again now, Exodus 29, verse 7. That's not all. They don't just get washed and baptized. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. So there was an anointing from above that had symbolic of the Holy Ghost. But let's look and see what happened. Acts 2, verses 1 through, well, we'll read several verses, at least 12. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled, and that sound filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. So there was a sound and there were tongues, cloven, what appeared as tongues, like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There's the filling of the Holy Ghost, that anointing. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. So there were, the Jews had been scattered. Now this is not the scattering of Acts 8 and 9 yet. This is the scattering of when they were taken exile into Babylon and exile into Assyria, and some had scattered in other places. You know, you find them in Rome, being purged out of Rome by Claudius, I think it was Claudius, the emperor then, or king, or whatever they would call him. But anyway, going on to verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, so they were speaking in tongues. And notice, they're speaking, God gave them this gift, and they were speaking to Jews from all over the place different language speakers. I don't know how to say it. They were foreign, they didn't speak, it wasn't their native language anymore. They had been born in a foreign country and brought up in the language of whatever country they were from, whether, Libya, Italy, wherever. So it's an evangelistic tool. They're getting the gospel, or whatever they're telling them. We'll find out later it's the gospel, but it's for the unbelieving Jews, that they might believe. It's a sign. The Lord, what is it it's not coming to me. There's a verse. I can look it up later, or one of you can look it up. But the Lord says, "You will not believe for all the signs that I've given you." In other words, the signs were to make them believe, and yet they still didn't believe. So they were all amazed, verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes," so this, I don't know if Libya's in there or not. Yeah, it is down in there. Okay, so, but this is the list of the countries that they had been scattered to, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia up north, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and they were in doubt, and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? So they were speaking the wonderful works of God, that Christ is the Son of God, that He is the Messiah, and that He rose from the dead, the resurrection, a wonderful work of God. All right, so there you've got that. Let's go on. There were signs of an apostle, and that God began to use, and there was a great boldness that was granted to these people. Look at Acts 4, verses 29 and 30, and 31. Acts 4, 29 and 30 to start with. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they, thy servants, may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. So Jesus, although he's already ascended, and by the way, this is more Israel events. All of these today will be Israel events, and tomorrow we should get into the beginning of the body of Christ. But the Lord had ascended to heaven, and during this first year after he had gone to heaven, he was working with them, showing signs. And well, we can see that. Look in, let me put it up there, Mark 16, 17, And these signs shall follow them that believe, and in my name, Jesus speaking, in my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak in new tongues. And then look down in verse 20 of Mark 16, and he says, They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord, now remember, he's already been ascended into heaven, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Well, that's what's happening over there in Acts 4, 29 and 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said in Luke 4, 19, well, let me put that up. I should have put these in the verse list, but I'll try to get in there if we ever do this again. He's gone through the, well, I've been, let's go back to verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Let me just preview here. The Lord, after he reads this prophecy, he's going to say, This is fulfilled in your ears. This day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears. So he says, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and then to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped. But the prophecy went on to talk about the vengeance, the day of vengeance of our God, the tribulation period. But the Lord stopped, and then he said, This day is this prophecy fulfilled in your very, in your ears, I think it says. Yeah, in your ears. So he's saying that not only is he going to walk the earth and heal people and recover sight and set at liberty them that are bruised, but he's going to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. There was one year that was not really identified when it would be in prophecy, but he's saying it's part of my earthly ministry. And it is that last part. He stopped after that. So it's that year that he did these signs through his 12 apostles on earth while he was in heaven. Okay, let's go to the next Israel event. Israel's little flock, the flock themselves, not just the apostles, get an anointing baptism. Actually, it's a baptism from Christ in heaven. Look at Acts 4:31. Actually, it's next in line, isn't it? And we've got it posted up there. pardon me. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now that may sound like a repeat of what happened in Acts 2, but in Acts 2 it was all the apostles that were gathered and that the Holy Spirit was given to. They were filled with. Here it's the whole group. In Acts 2 and Acts 4, Acts 4, there was at least 8,000 that joined, plus the 12. So, you know, there's quite a few people. These are the ones that receive the filling of the Holy Ghost here in Acts 4:31. Not just the apostles. So, okay, next event. Again, an Israel event. Don't get confused thinking these are the church, the body of Christ events. We're not there yet. We're not, as we're going through history, if we're here in Acts 6, we're not anything to do with the body of Christ yet. So it hasn't been started. Christ didn't start it or prophesy anything about it yet. So, this is going to be momentous, put it that way. Not what I say, but what the scripture says. So Israel fell, and we're going to see how they fell at this point here. And prophecy was suspended because of that. Prophecy stopped occurring. Prophecy, the clock that Daniel set up, Daniel's 70 weeks or 77s that were to transpire before Messiah, before the whole list of things there in Daniel. We could take time, I guess, to look. Let's go on with the notes the way we got them. I think if you want to look them up, that's Daniel 9:24-27, where it lists the things that will happen during that 70 weeks, and a lot of them are during that 70th week. But Messiah is cut off at the end of the 69th week, 483 years after the going forth of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem, the city, not the temple. There are a lot of decrees mentioned in Ezra and Nehemiah, several places, where the temple is said to, you know, they're told to rebuild the temple and given supplies, trees and stuff, timber. So let's get into the reading here. Acts 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith, now he was one of the seven, I guess it is, that were chosen by the church in Jerusalem to help minister or serve the daily distribution of food for these people that had brought all, they had sold everything, laid it at the apostles' feet, and the apostles were to distribute it as was needed. And they were waiting for the kingdom to come. But as it didn't come, you know, they ran out of stuff, and the Lord supplied it through the body of Christ. Paul mentions in, I think it's five different places, to five different groups of people that he's, you know, the different churches, Rome and the Galatia and Corinth. Anyway, he mentions that they should be giving to feed the flock in Jerusalem, feed the church of God in Jerusalem. And he assigns the elders to be the overseers. Those are the ones that are to oversee the distribution, collection, distribution, and transfer of the funds for their food to keep that church of God in Jerusalem alive, the ones that are left. And they were destitute. When they got scattered in Acts 9 and Acts 8, they were scattered. They didn't suddenly get rich. When they wound up in Corinth, they were destitute there, and they were weak brothers. They were still under Judaism, But they met with the church there, the church that believed 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, the body of Christ church. And they met together. And you can see that in several places as you read through 1 Corinthians. One stark place that's very clear to see is 1 Corinthians 7, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 7:18. So let's continue on with this Acts chapter 6, verse 8, and we'll see this story as it unwinds here about Stephen and Israel's fall. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. There are the signs, the confirming signs of the Lord being done by the people, by the believers. Verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. So they lied about Stephen, tried to get him killed. And verse 12, and they stirred up the people, they stirred up the elders, stirred up the scribes, and they came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. So all those that were mentioned there are involved in this thing. The people, the elders, the scribes, and the council of Judaism there. I guess here we'd call it the Congress, or the Knesset, maybe, like in Jerusalem, in Israel now. But going on to verse 15, and all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So the Lord, in his mercy, gives Israel one more chance, one more miracle. They get to see a miracle of God. His face shined. It was as it had been the face of an angel. And yet, they still reject it, as we'll see here. Next verse is in chapter 7, verse 1. Then said the high priest, are these things so? So the high priest of Israel himself was there taking part in these goings on, these doings. The fall of Israel is what they're taking part of. Verse 2, and he said, Stephen said, he starts off into this chapter-long history of Israel and the repeated goings away from God, their strayings, their going after all the different idols and non-gods that they thought were gods of the nations around them. And he ends up in Acts 7:51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. What a thing to call the high priest of Israel and the council and elders and scribes. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. There it is. Speak against the Holy Ghost. Shall not be forgiven. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, and of whom the Just One, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers. Verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. But he, this is talking about verse 55, this is talking about Stephen, he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Verse 58 and 59, and cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen. Stephen was calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And that was a act an action of what they believed, that Jesus was not the Son of God, not the Messiah, and that he was a fraud, that he did not rise from the dead. They didn't believe, even though Stephen did. So Israel's gospel, at that point, it got preached to Samaria, and it got preached in Cornelius. I don't remember exactly where he was, but let's look at the couple of verses there in Matthew, what Jesus had done, what he said about them, what they were to do at the beginning of their ministry. In Matthew 10, verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles." Well, how are Gentiles going to be saved? All through history since Genesis 12, God had not excluded the Gentiles. He worked his salvation at that time through Israel, but it was open. Gentiles had access. The only place you can find that they had access to God's salvation was in Genesis 12, verse 3. "I will bless them that bless thee." God talking to Abraham and about his seed. Those that were not Israelites, were not descendants of Jacob or Abraham, those that would bless Abraham's seed, Israel, would receive a blessing from God. Not necessarily salvation, not necessarily the same type of blessing that Israel received, but they would not be condemned, they would be blessed. And the salvation and blessing that was known at that time, that was preached, that was offered by God, was an earthly salvation, an earthly blessing. It was physical things. It was growth in their cattle, many children. It was things like that. Well, but it was stated as a blessing. And the people that did that were God-fearing Gentiles. They weren't the alien Gentiles that were separate from Israel and didn't have any way to God, because Israel was the only way to God at that time. So, let's go back. Matthew 10:5. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles." So there's a cessation there. It's not something, you know, just a wild statement. It's in continuation, it's a discontinuation, actually, of what had been going on since God gave, you know, Genesis 12:3, "I will bless them that bless thee." He's purging the nation. The nation is going to be offered this kingdom that was only given to Israel. And the Gentiles could still come, the ones that had faith, like that Syrophoenician woman or the centurion. The Lord said, "I've not seen so great faith in Israel." Faith is what he was looking for. They sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. So he goes on, I go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the way of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, we see, "Then therefore they that were scattered went every..." Now this is Acts 8, after Acts 7, when it was the fall of Israel, and Saul and his compadres, they went all over the place like madmen, trying to find believers in Christ that they could bring before the council and do what they did to Stephen. "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." So this is not those necessarily that were scattered in the earlier exiles. This is from the Stephen's event. Verse 5, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." So we've got individuals, unto them, that's plural. That's not unto the nation there. That's not a singular. It's he's talking about individuals being offered Israel's gospel at that time, not a national gospel anymore. Israel had fallen. And you see the same signs. God is still working, but he's working with individuals. Some people think Israel was not did not fall yet because God was still doing... Well, let's look here in Acts 8, verse 6, 7, and 8. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So these were miracles to confirm, confirming miracles that God was working through Israel still. Well, through Israel's gospel. And the little flock, you recall those two verses that the kingdom was taken away from those that didn't believe in Israel and given to the little flock. I forget exactly, what is it, Matthew 21:43 is the first one, and the other one is Luke 12:32, I think it is, where it says that the kingdom was taken from the nation and given to that little flock, the believers, that you see there in Acts 2, receiving the anointing and the baptism. So, he describes those miracles, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, many were, and there was great joy in that city. So in Samaria, Philip added the gospel of God to the kingdom preaching. He made it clear that it was Jesus that was the king. Let's look in verse 8 there in Acts 12. Acts, other way around, sorry, transpose them. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. So Acts 3:21 says heaven must receive Jesus Christ until the restitution of all things. So they were preaching the name of Jesus, who he is, as we know, the definition of that in Romans 1, verses 1 through 4, that he's the Son of God, the risen Messiah. That's what they were preaching. Not how to be saved into the body of Christ. They were preaching who Jesus is, the gospel of God. And when they heard it and believed it, they were baptized. Both men and women. So there's a change there, isn't there? Women were baptized too for the future kingdom. It was not an at-hand kingdom anymore. There had been that change. They weren't baptizing women when the kingdom was going to be coming immediately. All right, next we see Peter going to Samaria and prays for them to receive the Holy Ghost. So let's look down in Acts 8:14. Now, still again, these are all red Israel events on the bottom of the yellow line there on that spreadsheet. Acts 8:14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen on, he was fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And they went, look at verse 25, and when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So there they're returning and continuing to preach. Another Israel event, an individual Jew or a proselyte or a Jew blesser. Now, I don't know if some of you follow in Facebook, but they're talking like God would save in the past. God worked with Israel and with the proselytes, but not with the Greeks, not with those that would bless Israel to receive a blessing from God. Well, there's just no justification for that. The Bible says, I will bless them that bless thee. So there was a blessing, not necessarily, you know, they're probably still thinking in terms of salvation, meaning going to heaven, but that's not what was offered Israel. Israel was offered everlasting life on the land. The land. A specific, huge area over there, just east of the Mediterranean. So, under that covenant in Genesis 12, the Ethiopian eunuch believes Philip's gospel of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and he's water baptized. So there's a continuation there. Still no Saul of Tarsus being saved, no road to Damascus, no Paul. This is still all Israel. Let's look in Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And here, this is verse 8:27. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch with of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, why would he come to Jerusalem? Why would anybody go to Jerusalem to worship? Because that's where the temple is. That's where Israel worships. This man must have been an Israelite. Probably, you know, like the other Ethiopians, a black man, but still an Israelite. It says he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Verse 28, he was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah, the prophet, what we would call Isaiah. Verse 29, and the Spirit said unto Philip, now see, this is still Israel. This is the Spirit talking to him. It was before the scriptures were written. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture, where he was reading there in Isaiah 53, began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip, you know, he couldn't get into the temple because he wasn't holy, he was a eunuch. But he's saying, I can be part of this. I can be baptized, can't I? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. Now let's leave that verse out. Acts 8:37. That's what the NIV does, leaves it out. Well, it's important. Let's read it. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How would you like to have that expunged from your Bible? Well, if you're reading an NIV, it is. It's gone. And they jump from verse 36 to verse 38. Well, let's read verse 38, and we'll close with this for today. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So, at this point, God is still working with individuals and bringing them into Israel's doctrine, Israel's people that are hoping for and believing in a future kingdom to come. You know, at some point, they know they just refused it when it would have been coming immediately, but they're believing. They're not believing Paul's gospel. Paul's not saved yet. But we'll find out that's the next event. The next event that happens in Acts is a body of Christ event, and we'll get into that. It's going to be a relief because this has all been Israel so far, these last 3 days of events, studying what's happened. But tomorrow we hope to get into the salvation of unforgivable Saul of Tarsus as a pattern of our salvation. He was first in the body of Christ. He was the chief, the head of the line. Okay, I'm done for today. How about some questions, comments, corrections if needed? That's fine. We want to be right with what the Bible is saying.